Commissioner, you're rolling.
We good? Okay, thank you, John. Welcome, everybody. Hopefully, we have some people online because the room's empty. welcome to commission meeting this Monday, the 27th day of January, 2025. And we will begin our meeting, and I forgot to get a prayer and a pledge. So, Ken, would you lead us in the pledge and I'll offer the prayer?
Sure.
Let's start with a prayer and then we'll go to the pledge. Our kind Father in heaven, as we gather this morning together at this commission meeting in Iron County, we offer our thanks for our many blessings. We thank you for this beautiful county we live in and for those favorable circumstances we live in. We are mindful for our water needs and pray that thou bless us with the moisture we need, that we can receive the moisture in the mountains and the valleys that we need to sustain life and crops. And we thank you for the residents of our county and pray that thou would bless them and those that are struggling in different aspects of their life and help us to be mindful of them and be assistance. We thank thee for our first responders and pray for their safety. Appreciate the work you do for us to keep us safe. We pray that we might have thy spirit to guide us in our meeting this day, that we might have thy spirit to be with us to do this work in the county. We are so very grateful for the blessings and pray that we have a wonderful day in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We'll go ahead and go to the approval of our minutes, and the minutes are dated January 13th, 2025. Has everybody had a chance to look at those?
Yep.
Okay, so I'll entertain a motion to approve those minutes.
Make a motion that we approve the minutes from January, what was it?
January 13th.
2025.
I will second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve our minutes of January 13, 2025. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you. We'll now go to approving our claims.
I'll move for approval of the claims for payment from January 13th, 2025 to January 26th, 2025.
Second that.
Been moved and seconded to approve the claims for payment from January 13, 2025 to January 26, 2025. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you. We will now go to our departmental reports.
You guys are like the two shortest ever, but you better step it up.
Kind of like a church talk. You got to have an accordion. If you have this much time, you got to take it. So
that's
not
how it works for me.
Okay. So all right. So we don't see anybody from our IT.
Text them. I haven't heard back.
Okay. All right. So we'll go ahead with our recorder, Carrie. Thanks.
Well, good morning, everyone. Okay, so I'll just go over some of our numbers for the year. For 2024, we had 14,111 recordings, which is up from last year, about 1,500. We had 71 subdivisions, which is a lot. About half of those are amendments. Subdivisions, our new mapping system has made that process completely different and also takes less than half the time, so that's been huge for us. We also have had about 7 or 8 PIDs, which we all love PIDs. They're quite a bit of work is what I'm realizing, and also we've had a hard time figuring them out, not just us but everybody. So, but that's okay, we'll just keep on doing what we're doing.
Bright spot is Nicole loves him.
Nicole hates him too. Everyone hates them. I get it.
I'm just, you know,
but I guess we don't get to tell them no. So our total revenue for the year was $564,177, which again is up about $55,000 from last year. But I mean, all of my revenue comes from recordings, so the recordings are up, the revenue's up. That's just how that works. We had 1,185 new accounts in 2024. So the county currently has about 55,000, property accounts. We implemented our fraud guard this year. Currently, we only have about 250 people signed up. So I need to kind of find some ways to get the word out a little bit better about that. We put a notice in with our tax notices, and we will do that again this year, but maybe I'll reach out to the paper or see about getting it on our Facebook page or something so we can get the word out for people on that.
One thing that we do with the fire department is we do like a fire message a couple times a year. If you would like, we could, we just put on the back of the bills that we send out. Maybe we could work on that.
I mean, the thing with the service is it really is just a service for the citizens. It's free. They don't have to pay for it. So obviously the more people that sign up, the more impact it will have. So any way we can get that word out would be great. Another project that we worked on this year is a new map called Survey Finder on our website. So you can go to the website and go to that map and you can find any survey in the county that's been filed. So you can go to the property, and if there's any surveys for that property or around that property, they show up there.
What was that called again?
Survey Finder. We have 4,022 survey maps, and we were able to get all those on, so that's a lot of maps. And now we're going to start putting all our official recorded maps on there. So that, I think it's awesome. I don't know what the rest of the world does, but I think it's great to make our information available to people and then just make it easy for people to find it. So that's exciting, and my staff's worked hard on that. And that's about it. That's been our year. Do you guys have any questions?
Nope. With your mapping services, are you, so I met with the assessor's office last week. Are you guys talking so that they have a new mapping that they're using and they're downloading photos through their phones and all that? Are you guys communicating so that you're?
Yes. So their map actually comes from my office.
Okay.
And then every year, as of January 1st, we have to give them all the new information, and we have already given it to them for 2025. And then Kendall puts all of their stuff basically on top of our map.
Okay.
Yep.
So you're not working, you're working together, not independently, and that's all coming together. So.
Yeah, I mean, the state statute tells me I have to give them that information. So we've always done that, but yeah.
Very good.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, you guys.
All right. Nicole, you're up. Thank our treasurer.
This is like
48 minutes.
Being the last speaker, where you're. We're going to get out of here.
Thank you.
Sorry, and I always have handouts.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. So kind.
So it sounds like Carrie and I are doing a wrap-up of last year, so that is kind of what my info is today also. The first paper that I gave you is called our product sales, and that shows everything that was collected, distributed through our office. So that was at 79,552. So I feel pretty good about that. You know, the three of us in our office, we can do that, balance it, get it out to the entities, and so that's the highest that it's been since I've worked here. So that to me shows we're working really hard. The next one is the paper that is just the funds that come to the county, not to the other taxing entities. So we gave to Iron County $15,999,470. So, and I thought we are kind of the highest contributor to the budget, for our yearly budget. So, one thing I wanted to mention, our collections, just of course from October to December, were $58 million. So that's a super duper busy time for us. Our pool cash report shows we're at that $82 million, so we're doing super well. All of our funds are in good shape, and like I said, our accounts were doing really well. The PTIF rate last time I reported was 5.25. It has come down a little bit.
Is it what?
It was 5.25, and we're down to 4.73. So it's come down a little bit. but last year, just in that one PTIF account, our main one for the county, we earned $2,495,000 in interest, just in the one account. And then with Morton, where we have invested our other funds, we brought in $979,000 in interest with them. So we did, it was probably our best interest year ever. Last year we did really well. Our outstanding.
That's a total of $3.5 million in interest Iron County collected.
Oh, and that's
year.
Not all of the counts. Those are just our two main county accounts. But like there's yours.
The SSD.
Sewer. I think with all
on 61.
I think at $3.7 million with everything. Wow. So we're really good interest year. Our outstanding as of last week was $3,933,000. Last year at the same time we were at $9,654,000. So we're doing okay, and that will keep coming down a little bit, hopefully in the next few months. So then of course we wrap up one year and we start the next. We've already started our mailing for the May tax sale, and we started with 109 properties. That's about where we were last year, but we're definitely coming down, and we're really grateful for that. Nicole keeps on tracking those addresses and trying to track people every single return that we have come back. And I really feel that's helped our tax sale numbers to come down significantly to begin with. We only have 11 that have buildings, so that could be homes, mobile homes. We have 8 with the land value over 25,000, 2 commercial properties, and 8 of our beloved campsites. And then Carrie, she also brought up the PIDs. They are such a blessing to the county. We've been working with Sam and John and Carrie and Luke, trying to get a policy for the county, and we're also meeting with Marcus tomorrow to just see if we can come up with a good, sound policy for our PIDs. And thank you, Sam, for helping us. So, and I ended my last year's budget way under budget, so I feel really good about that, and always try to be mindful of our taxpayers' money and try to be real frugal in what we spend. Just try to be really conscientious that way. But I'm super appreciative of my staff. They work so hard, and they just do such a good job. Couldn't do it without them. So, any questions? Are you sure I could go on for 35 more minutes?
Great job. Thank you very much.
Jeez.
All right. Commission, I guess IT hasn't showed up. I know that Josh tried calling me. Did you get any answers? All right. Let's go ahead and go to Commissioner Blake for a report.
Let me get my calendar.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just kind of, I'm scanning through my calendar to kind of decipher. Well, there's a couple of things. The legislature's in session. I've just spent some time with bills and files. There's a couple of things that probably the one that I'm most concerned about at this point, I'm at least going to try and support, is, you know, House Bill, what did we pass last year? Was it, what did we end up with, 488 with that allowed us with our jail funding? There's talk about trying to restrict that, to put some more restrictions on that bill. I think that's detrimental to smaller counties. You know, we were allowed that's what the funding that we're using to build our sheriff's complex. And there's talk about, you know, restricting that use. I think that this is a case of local government manages those things better. You know, there's a lot of sixth class counties that, you know, have a few hundred people. They're never going to build a big jail facility. But what the funds would allow them to bolster their search and rescue, or to be able to use for equipment and things like that. I think the more, it's interesting because the state always says the states can govern better than the federal government, which is true. But then the local government says, hey, we can govern our own people better than the state can govern. And then every once in a while, the state's like, oh, wait a minute, we passed this and there's not very many restrictions on it. We probably ought to relook at this. So
what the bill number is on that?
I don't know that it's out.
I haven't. Find it for I you. Need to get my tracker going. I haven't had time to get it going and enter all those. What is that?
162.
I was going to say, I think I have it in my email right here. Yeah, 162 rings a bell. Okay. I know I have it in my email.
Plug it in my app.
Anyway, I just, you know, There's a lot of small counties that can really benefit from the work that we put in last year, and I you know, let local government govern. I don't know that, because there really isn't any. I mean, it's just honestly, I believe they're like, oh, wait a minute, we didn't regulate. We might be able to regulate this more, and I just don't think it's necessary.
So that actually comes from Representative Shipp. That was Representative Shipp's bill.
Right.
And I wish maybe he had visited with us about that. We were the first to implement that. Since I believe half a dozen, maybe more counties have actually implemented that local option sales tax.
Is each sponsoring?
Yeah. 162? Yeah, it is 162. It's transportation funding amendments. Yep. And my understanding was is that the limitation that had been discussed was to make it so that they couldn't do, like, wages with it.
Yeah.
There was a lot of pushback in our Rev and Tax Committee because a lot of other counties are already implementing it.
Right.
So, yeah. There'll be a lot of fight on that one.
Yeah, I don't know how. Did it come out of Rev and Tax?
Can you come to the microphone?
No.
Sorry.
No. So
I have no interest.
I'm actually working on a resolution with NACO, with the Justice and Public Safety Committee and the National Association of Counties, to free up. So basically now in the world of wildland firefighting, which is kind of a hot topic right now. So there's a whole bunch of pay differentials. There's, you know, hazard pay, things like that. If a fire is started because of a prescribed burn, nobody is eligible for hazard pay. Because then they would have to admit that their prescribed burn got out of control. And so it's, yeah, like if there's a prescribed burn, which, you know, happened in Beaver County this last summer, all of, you know, those thousands of acres that were burned, there was actually, you know, all these fire assets, nobody gets hazard pay because it's still a prescribed burn, even though it, you know, it was supposed to be 5 acres and now it's 30,000.
I don't think anybody ever dies from friendly fire either.
Yeah, nobody ever dies from friendly fire, prescribed burns. I mean, fire's fire. So Representative Malloy's office is actually working on a sponsoring a bill that would straighten out some of the, make that a little more straightforward in the wildland firefighting world, including getting rid of that restriction on prescribed burns. They've asked me to kind of help that on the NACO side, just to get as much support behind that as we can. So I'm actually working on a resolution with the Justice and Public Safety Committee with NACO. Friday, was it Friday, John? We met that new guy.
Oh, yeah.
So Jeff Razor is Senator Curtis's Southern Utah director. He stopped through here on Friday afternoon just as a meet and greet type of thing. Cindy Bullock brought him by. John and I were here and talked to him for a few minutes. He seems really good. He's really responsive.
What's his name again?
Jeff Razor. And I'll send you guys his contact. It's R-A-I-S-O-R.
R-A-I-S-O-R. S-O-R Razor. And that's John Curtis's assistant.
John Curtis's Southern Utah director. He's actually out. He lives in Richfield.
All right. Thank you.
That's about it.
All right. Thank you.
We can talk about here.
All right, Commissioner.
Was able to meet with the assessor's office, spend a couple hours with them going over how they do their work, and then we took a tour and went around and looked at some greenbelt issues and just got more familiar with them and their office and started becoming familiar with that. Had a meeting with the weed board, talked about a couple of seasonals that they need to hire to be able to address the weed issues in the county and the grants that are available to take care of that, to cover those expenses. And then how they're going to do a media blitz throughout the county to make the citizens aware that there is help available for those that don't have the equipment or the need or the means to take care of their weeds that they have. And then just had a really good call with Sheriff Carpenter to make sure that after the incidents that they've been involved, the Sheriff's Department's been involved with over the last 10 days, 2 weeks, that they're doing good and their needs are being met as far as outside of, or I shouldn't say it that way, make sure that their needs are being met with the situations that they have to deal with on a daily basis. So that was a really good conversation with him. And then just the meeting with the jail and the progress of the sheriff's complex. So
if I can go, are you done?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sending y'all a group text. So
okay.
With his contact. No, I'd like to just really quick talk sheriff's department. I was involved in the investigation of that homicide last week. And worked really closely with the detectives, the responding, you know, patrol deputies, CSI. I mean, those guys, they're heroes in that case.
What a tragedy.
I mean,
horrible.
I was out all night. I went to bed about 11 in the morning, and I was talking with Sean Peterson. And when I went to bed at 11 in the morning, he's like, we got nothing. And I don't know, at some point in my sleep, I heard a helicopter, which at my house, helicopters fly by all the time. And I heard a helicopter like hovering, and I'm like, oh, good. I bet they figured it out, because I don't know. That's just where my thought went. And then I woke up at about 3:30, had to be to work over here at 5. And that's what it was the DPS helicopter. And they'd, you know, gotten a lead, followed up on it, and had four in custody by.
So they had a witness or something.
They had a tip from a neighborhood that led them in the right direction. But I mean, at 11 a.m. I went to sleep and they didn't have any idea. And at 3:30, they were in the middle of interviews. And I mean, they just did such a good job.
That's and impressive.
It was one of those nights. It was miserable and cold. You know, Mikkel was in. Mikkel calls it her turd outfit. She has the, you know, Mikkel's not. She's a little girl, and she's got this big old insulated Carhartt outfit that, and you know, it was out in the sagebrush. It was cold, and you know, Mikkel and Lindsay with CSI, and you know, the entire investigations division. They did awesome. George responded and brought lights and command center and brought things like that to keep everybody warm and give them a place to work. So again, it was just a really good collaborative effort between, you know, the Sheriff's Department, emergency management, and everybody else. So they really need kudos. Did such a great job on that for such a shitty situation.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, that's all I got. I was going to mention that. I'm glad you mentioned because I forgot. So no, those guys were so good.
Condolences to the families. What a tragedy! Absolutely. Just unbelievable. So, you have anything else, Ken?
Nope.
All right. I too called the sheriff and just checked on him. That's those kind are. That's I can't imagine having to deal with that. To see that and witness it and go through it, it's got to be really hard on you mentally. So we appreciate all of you, Mike, and other first responders. Like Ken said, we continue with the jail meetings. Cornerstone, which is our subcontractor from back east, they're pouring our cells, and they've now completed 3, which is 3% complete. And we continue to work with Union Pacific. We're making progress with them on – there was some exploration of tying in to the IFA line that already goes under the railroad tracks. But it's an 8-inch, and we need to do a 10-inch, so it's not quite capacity. It's too bad. It's not bigger, dang it. But anyway, we're making progress there. Intellex has run – water and sewer up to the high-pressure gas line, and there has to be some really tight, monitoring and things by the Dominion Energy on that line because it's high pressure and very dangerous to work around, so we've got to be very careful. Working on the budget, bid package 2 came in way, way over budget, so we continue to work on value engineering and getting that price down. We are over budget at this point, in full disclosure, but that's the life of construction right now with inflation. But we're working our best to see where we can trim anything out that we can. I've mentioned this before, but the storm drains are completely complete out on 800 West, or 800 South, I mean, in front of the trans... or the substation, Rocky Mountains substation. And hopefully with that, it'll just alleviate a lot of that flooding issues we've had with the monsoonal events out in that neighborhood and the Hallidays that have been flooded so many times. And that's about it. On a personal note, it's fun to visit with my baby sister. She's worked in Washington, D.C., for probably 20 years. She was Mike Lee's scheduler and then Senator Hawley's and Senator Cotton and Loudermilk from Georgia. But she got a call about a month ago from J.D. Vance, the vice president, and he visited with her for about 15 minutes and hired her to be his executive assistant. So her office is right around the corner from the Oval Office, and it's kind of fun to visit with her once in a while. She don't get to talk to her much. She's crazy busy, but she's his assistant, and she walks by the Oval Office every day, and she has kind of a interesting experience. Very, very busy, but that's just kind of a personal note that was kind of exciting for her. Anyway, that's all I have. Kind of a short meeting today. We will go ahead and take a break and reconvene this meeting at 10 o'clock. Thank you. Thank you.
I am generally available until about.
I have a couple of. Got to be back in Cedar by 11:30 for lunch. My buddy's son died, which is my kid's best friend. I got a text from his wife this morning. Travis needs lunch.
Yep.
Take him to lunch.
Thank you.
Is anybody more well acquainted with more?
How are you?
Okay.
Good.
I've enjoyed my hips since they were 6 years.
Great. So what you expect? I heard that.
There's the challenge is finding out what's relevant and what's just stuff.
What do you think of that idea, though? I mean, that's kind of outside the box, but
it opens up opportunities for some people that might not have it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you're wrong.
I seem to, you guys are trying to get ahead.
We good, John? Thank you. We're back to our 10 o'clock meeting in the Iron County Commission. We appreciate your attendance and those that have joined us. We'll start off with agenda item number one, which is public comments. This is a 3-minute opportunity to speak your mind. You should not repeat others' comments, only for items not on the agenda. No items related to commission's role as an appeal board. Comments should be directed to the commission. No attacks on other people's characters. So if anybody would like to speak, please state your name.
Hello, Carol Barker. Last year at this time, we were all pushing to get House Bill 113 through the legislature and the Senate so that it could fund the jail. Made it through the House, didn't make it through the Senate. We ended up with House Bill 488, which I personally had a problem with. I met with Senator Vickers. He came, he spoke to you guys. I don't know if you remember that. He did admit that there were no guidelines in House Bill 488 as to how the money was spent. And as a taxpayer, I have a little problem without some guidelines. Thank you for bringing up House Bill 162. I wasn't aware of it, but just having perused it in the last hour, I'm in favor of it. It puts some guidelines in. If you remember correctly, Paul, Mike, I did challenge the previous commission to put in some guidelines on that money. You said you couldn't do it because you didn't want to, what did you say, Paul, tie the hands of future commissions. Well, now the legislature is tying your hands.
And that's their job.
It is their job. Yeah. So I'm glad for that. And really, the only kind of guidelines that I would like to see as a taxpayer is accountability. How much was collected? Where was it spent? Maybe quarterly, yearly? That would be nice to know where our money's going.
That guy right back there?
I know. I have to make an appointment, but it should be available. It should be. I don't know if he's going to include it in his reports. So I'm going to push for our citizens to be behind this bill. Because really, what's in it, they're just saying you can use it for infrastructure, which is what we want, but not salaries or maintenance, which I think is fair. So thank you, and I hope I'm not going to say anything else. Thank you.
And just so you know my position, you got six class counties that don't have a lot of infrastructure. They're never going to use that money for infrastructure. If a six class county can use that for wages or things like that and not have to do tax increases to the for a property tax, then I see that as a win for those six class counties.
That's not how it was sold to the public.
It was sold as public safety.
It was sold as public safety.
And our friends in Garfield County, and we're not supposed to do this, but we're doing it anyway, and Sam might throw something at us, but our friends in Salt Lake and our friends in Garfield County, our people in Salt Lake go to Garfield on the weekends to recreate, and when they fall off a cliff or get in trouble or get stuck, they go rescue them, and they have a really hard time in their budget being able to afford to save people's lives from other counties. And so that gives it, like Mike said, that gives them an opportunity to have some funds to augment their existing budget to help with those things. So it's a kind of a moving target. It applies differently for us as a third-class county versus a sixth-class county. So
okay, so then I guess we need to approach the legislature and say, can we have specific guidelines for class 3, class 4,
exactly.
Class 5,
and I'm sure that'll come up.
Yeah.
So
at the same thing with this bill, what happens when Iron County gets to the point where we need to have a public transportation system? I mean, the rate of growth, that could be within 10 years.
Yeah.
So and House Bill 488 is a transportation bill, is it not?
Right.
Yeah.
It so is, but I'm, most but the point of it was first and class, second class counties use that for that, but third through six don't. So they carved out an earmark, like Mike said, for public safety because we'll never use that.
How do you know? At the rate of growth, we could be. I mean,
maybe someday.
Yeah.
Well, and if we're a second class county, then the other sales tax options open up. This was a carve out for those more rural counties, and it was expressly for this purpose.
I just,
and I kind of want to speak to your comment about accountability. I know you may not think it, but really we account for every penny.
Oh, and I agree. Yeah. I have been coming for over a year to these meetings, and I'm listening. I'm watching, listening to the reports. And I've said this before up here. This is a well-run county. You guys are doing a good job.
Then don't fire darts at us and then turn around and sit down. Because that's what you do every time. You fire darts then you give the caveat of it, but this is a well-run county.
That's not true, Mike.
Well, let's go back and review the minutes, because it is true.
No, it's not. I spoke very highly of this commission the last time I spoke. I wasn't here at the beginning of the month.
But there's always darts. There's always a caveat of da 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 da.
Mike,
you're
a public servant and you ran for office.
I know. Oh, trust me, I've got a thick skin.
You
have every right to run for office.
You have every right to run for office. Come do it. I'm not going to run this next go around. Come do it.
Statement. Well, this is a tough job. Run for office. You know what? I'm at a point in my life where I am not able to run for office. I'm going to be taking care of elderly parents soon. I don't have time to have another full-time job. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm here doing what I can do.
And we're here doing the best we can.
And I understand that. And I have said that. I just...
You just alluded to the fact that maybe Luke's not being forthright.
Oh, I did not allude to the fact. Don't put words
that's
in
how
my...
It came, that's how it came across
words
to me.
In my mouth. Do not put
that's
words
how,
in my
that's
mouth.
How it came across
no,
to me.
I am asking for accountability. I have asked him. I asked him a few months ago about how much money has been raised with the tax, and he told me. I haven't seen an official report. I haven't seen it in his when he comes up here and he does his departmental report. I just haven't seen it. I don't know if it's been done. I haven't seen it. I know I could make an appointment and go see him and sit down and go over all that. There is an us versus them mentality from your side of the aisle and our side. It's like taxpayers versus government workers. And we are at a pivotal point. We can change that. We can be a county that works for the people, where the people feel their voices are heard, where government is not on the defensive, where people aren't on the defensive.
So in all of the public hearings we had on the jail, the thing that came out the loudest was, we would like you guys, instead of a property tax, to go to use tax. And that's what we did.
Yes. And then you also raised our property taxes.
Yes, we did. That's the first time in 23 years.
That has nothing to do with the jail, though. I
know. I'm not saying it did. My concern last April, when Senator Vickers came and he admitted there weren't a lot of guidelines in that bill, and there weren't, House Bill 113, I feel, was the best solution for the jail funding. Now, what I'm worried about is all this tax money, once the jail's paid for, and I know that the county wants a new fire station down on Westview. How's that going to be paid for?
The city, you mean?
Is that the county? I didn't know. I don't know where the boundaries are.
We don't have a fire department.
We don't.
Okay. Well, then strike that, because, I mean, that's public safety, right?
Hopefully I'm dead and gone by the time it's all paid for, so somebody else can worry about it.
So, we've seen so much government abuse with our taxpayer money.
I don't think so in Iron County. We're very well managed in Iron County.
I know that. I'm saying generally, statewide, nationwide. I'm not accusing Iron County of mismanaging funds.
We've operated on Iron County on $5 haircuts for 23 years.
I understand that.
And now they're 25.
I understand.
So we did a small tax increase recently of 20% of the 10% we get.
I get that.
And it was sorely needed.
Yeah, I get that. I understand that. I'm just saying that there is a history of abuse from the government towards the taxpayers. We've seen it. Just look at the money that's been wasted the last 4 years. And it's just frustrating to not feel like our voices are heard. I don't want to come every Monday or every twice a month. I've got stuff to do. But I come because I feel it's important to know what's going on and being involved.
We appreciate you coming.
And I just want there to be a better relationship. And we have to do it at a local level. You guys have to be approachable. You have to listen.
We had more in regards to the building, the construction of a new jail facility. We had more public hearings than anybody has ever had in history.
Well, I know.
If that's not transparency, I don't know what is.
I'm not saying it's not. But also at that meeting, I watched lots of people walk out because they felt like they weren't being heard. And there is there is a divide. So we have to be aware of it and work together to bring it together so that we can be maybe the best run county, the best county in the United States, and be an example.
We went to San Francisco when we got funding for our new jail facility.
Mm-hmm.
We went to Finch and S&P. They're two bond rating agencies for our bonding. And after we presented to both of them, we got a double A minus, and I think it was a double A plus. That's one mark below perfect.
That's great.
Our county is basically, other than our new jail we're building, our county, other than a couple small, a fire station we did build in Newcastle, which is different than the municipal fire station,
right, okay,
you're talking about, and the Shakespeare Festival, which the previous commissioners, I think Commissioner Blake was probably on that commission.
Was it before you? Yeah, it was before
they,
me.
They gave $2 million to support Shakespeare, and they built the public safety building, which is being paid for by leases from the state of Utah. So it's a wash. But other than that, we're a debt-free county, other than the new jail facility. So we're in very good financial shape, as you heard mm-hmm. from Nicole this morning.
I really appreciate that you come, because it makes a difference to have, you know, get outside of the echo chamber that can sometimes form, you know, and so I appreciate that. I wanted to circle back on HB 162. I've had conversations, not with Representative Shipp, but with Senator Vickers and Senator Thatcher about it. And yeah, the main two caveats that are added are the operations and maintenance of public entities or the salaries of public or law enforcement personnel. And that was kind of the proposed difference from HB 488 to HB 162.
Well, yeah, and none of that was in House Bill 488.
No, it just simply said public safety.
Right, very broad, which,
yeah.
I mean, that could mean
search and rescue. I think to your point, that is a very broad use, but I think what Mike was getting at earlier was, you know, maybe not even for a county our size,
mm-hmm.
but for a smaller county, that's a big deal. But I think it's a conversation worth having, I know that Senator Vickers is willing to have that conversation. I imagine Representative Shipp is as well, because I've talked to him about
HB 113. Oh, yeah, okay. Well, then I wasn't aware of this bill. I'm tracking some other things.
Yeah, I was aware of it. I didn't know the number, so
yeah.
It was on my bill tracker, but I've got a lot of elections bills I'm trying to track. So
the sheriff just walked in, and I appreciate that, John. You know, I hope that they'll allow third-class counties to use, if we have excess, we can use that for personnel. Because when we ramp up the second pod of this new jail facility, the challenge we're having is the state of Utah pays their highway. This is one of the challenges we had is a year or two ago, they gave the state troopers with highway patrol an $8 an hour raise. Well, and then we have to try to compete with that as counties, and it's very difficult. And so, and we try to compete with Washington County in regards to jail employees, and they're paying $8 an hour more than we do. And so when they put out a job posting, they get 75 applicants, we get two or three or
right.
four. And so we, with our tight budget, even though we raised 20%, we're still tight, and we have a hard time competing with surrounding counties. So it's really difficult. I mean, I'm glad Ken missed the last budget meeting, because I was afraid he was going to say, forget this, I don't want to do this job. But so that's what we're faced with, is how do we compete with other counties when they're paying so much more money and we're not paying as much? And we don't have the funds to do a lot about it. It's a hard job.
I'm not discounting the job that you do. I'm asking for motion on your behalf and my behalf to have a better relationship, and I don't know how to go about doing that, because I'm not in the inner circle. I'm relatively new, been here for 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't really involved in local politics until the jail issue, because I was more focused on national stuff, which I think a lot of people were. But I recognize that all politics are local, and if we don't change our local politics and have the best corruption-free, most transparent government at a local level, then we're all lost. And so that's what I want to work towards, is having the best local government. I've never had a problem with any county employee. You guys do your job. It's nice to know that we have money in the bank. We're not running a debt. That's great. That's great news. I just, this commission has said before that you suck at communication. So, you know, we can work on that. And I'll try not to be such a crab. I do have a little bit of a migraine today. So I apologize for my, and I hate public speaking. So I am a little on edge. So
we all echo John. We love that you come. We hope you come every time. And I love that you get up and speak. But I know that these people in the back, we have excellent staff and are not elected officials, not just staff, but elected official, other elected officials. And they're accountable to you, not us. Mm-hmm. We don't have any jurisdiction over them other than setting their budget. That's all we have. And so they're accountable to you. And I know they're all responsive to you. If you want to go and talk to Luke after this meeting, I'll bet he'll print your reports and show you exactly what you need.
He's been very, I mean, everybody is approachable, and they are very helpful. And, you know.
You've kind of mentioned this before, and I guess maybe I don't understand. Could you clarify what you're getting at when you talk about, like, when you like the idea of some kind of guardrails here? Could you clarify kind of what you mean? I mean, those aren't just nuances. Those are important things.
Well, If I remember correctly, House Bill 48, the only stipulation in it was that the tax collected from that sales on use tax could not be dumped into the general fund. If I remember correctly, that's what House Bill 488 stipulated. And I thought that was so vague that set up for any county opportunity for fraud. And so that's why I challenged the commission to come up with some guidelines on reporting, on spending, where it could be spent. Just some basic guardrails to protect the taxpayer and to protect the county from future lawsuits, because any group could come in and say, well, we're public safety and we didn't get any of that money. So just wanted some definitions, and that's what Senator Vickers came and said that they were going to do. So I will write to Senator Shipp or Representative Shipp and Senator Vickers and ask.
And Representative Albrecht, too.
And say, you know, we need to have maybe county size or class county specific guidelines.
And I think, and that's kind of where we got off the rails before. Was we have that accountability in place already through the government accountability that we employ through everything from the fees that Carrie collects to you know, the landfill billing that my office does to sales tax to property tax to personal property tax. I mean, and so that accountability that you're worried about already exists. I guess that was the point I was trying to drive home.
Okay.
Yeah. That makes sense?
Yes.
And it's there. Look, it's easy to get lost in 500 pages of printouts, but also that's why Luke is an elected official, and not only is he accountable to you, but he'll sit down and take the time.
And I know a lot of this bill and 488 was tax code, which you start going cross-eyed reading it, and it's hard to understand.
We didn't even get what they were talking about when they first brought it up. So, yes, we understand.
So, thank you. I appreciate the time.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you for coming. And please keep coming.
Oh,
and please keep commenting.
Don't let us run you off.
Thank you. Okay. Anybody else like to speak? Seeing none, we'll move on to agenda item number 2, presentation of the annual bee inspector report by Blaine Ney, our county bee inspector.
I'm Blaine Ney, a county bee inspector, and I typed in a couple of numbers on my phone here if my fat finger's wrong. But I'm here because of the Utah Bee Inspection Act, which is adopted by the state of Utah, well, the territory of Utah in 1892, as a response to a very serious bacterial disease the honeybees have. This disease is a spore-forming disease. The spores are viable for up to 80 years. Is very contagious. So we adopted the Bee Inspection Act, and part of it is each county is required to have a bee inspector. We're volunteers, and that's my job. I've been doing this since 2013. This last year, I wrote here 25 apiaries. I think that's what's on your form there, too,
mm-hmm.
that I inspected bee yards, 25 bee yards. And 73 different hives in those 25 yards. I didn't find any serious bacterial disease this year. In the second to the last column, if you go through the pages there, you'll see that I saw some colonies that have our most serious health problem now, which is a parasitic mite. It's really devastating. We count these mites using, we put a half cup of bees in a mason jar, some powdered sugar, and shake them up really good, and then shake it out through a number 8 hardware cloth. The mites will pass through, and we spray the powdered sugar with water, dissolves the sugar, and then we can count the mites. And out of a half a cup of bees, we don't want to see more than 6 mites. That's a 2% infestation. But you'll see some that a few cases where I got up to 20 mites. And when the colony gets that bad, it's probably doomed. It's probably not going to recover. But our job as inspectors is to help the beekeepers, show the beekeepers how to identify these threats, the diseases in the mites, and then help them through the problem when the problem is discovered. This year I didn't see any serious bacterial diseases. There's case of the American foulbird. That's a really bad one down in St. George. I had to help the beekeeper burn 23 hives, and that's pretty hard to do, but you got to do it. Mm-hmm. It's the only treatment. You can give them antibiotics. It just suppresses the disease. It doesn't do anything to the spores. They're there forever, basically.
Does the burning destroy the spores or not really?
Yeah, and what we have to do is dig a pit, put the hives in there, burn it, and then bury it because you also have spores in the honey. The honey won't burn.
Oh,
the high moisture content. So we have to bury it. Mm. And I hope that it's all decomposed in 80 years before somebody digs up that pit. So.
Wow.
So how long does it take to reestablish? Like if somebody's if you've got to wipe out a complete operation, how long does it take for them to rebuild that operation?
Well, this particular, again, this is in Washington County, yeah. But he has 2 other yards, so he has other bees. He's what we call a sideline beekeeper. He doesn't do it for a living, but it's a part-time job for him. And so he has other bees, and when times are good in the spring, they're booming in population. He can split them and increase his operation again.
Cool.
So that's what we do when we lose bees. And we can also buy them. You can buy them in the mail. They put them in a box and put a stamp on
them. Good time
when
they show up in the post office.
The packages are buzzing? Making noise.
And the postmaster calls up in a panic and says, come get your bees. There's always some on the outside of the cage, and they're flying around the office. That's a lot of fun.
So do the mites persist like the spores?
Well, we have some really good products to put in the hive. Being from agriculture, you know that you have mites and ticks on livestock too. And we have some of the same products, for example, Amitraz, that we have products that are specifically formulated for the bees to be safe for the
right.
bees. It's still a poison.
Right.
But it's relatively safe for the bees, and if you follow the directions, it's very effective.
Once a hive is terminal collapses, do the mites persist in that hive?
They'll die.
As a failed beekeeper, I'm asking
they,
you.
They have to have the host to survive, so they'll die.
Keeper.
But the big problem we have is that colony is collapsing from the mites, and it vectors about 24 viruses. And viruses are short-lived, so that's not a long-term problem. But as the colony's collapsing, you lose enough bees where it's no longer able to defend itself from robbers from other hives. The other hives, bees from other hives will smell that honey and they'll come in and steal the honey.
Oh, yeah.
And take home a load of mites.
Yeah.
So we want to keep the mite level down in everybody's bees. And that way we don't have these collapsing colonies and mites spreading. And that's my biggest challenge is a lot of beekeepers don't know what they're doing.
Right.
I was just talking to Paul a few minutes ago. It's not as easy as raising children.
They like to leave
and,
a whole
and
lot.
And people get
sooner.
Into beekeeping, think this is, I just put a pretty box in the garden. It's that's all there is to mm-hmm. it. But there's a lot to know. And people that think they know, they think they can keep bees naturally. And that used to be the case. Can't do it anymore. Not with this mite. This is an immigrant from China. We got him here about 1985. And we've been challenged with them ever since.
Hopefully not from the Wuhan lab.
No, this is before that. So.
But we lose our bees and we all starve to death, right, Blaine?
Well, it's...
it's a serious issue.
You go to the produce section, just about everything there requires honeybee pollination.
Right.
If we lose... we have native bees in North America, there are 4,700 varieties of native bees. But they can't pollinate. They don't have the tongue, the knowledge, whatever, to pollinate the European crops that we brought over. So those crops with, like peaches and apples, those are from Europe and in the Middle East. And the native bees can't pollinate them. You have to have the European honeybee, which is what we raise. So those things will go away, or hand pollination is the only thing we'd have. So it's pretty important to keep the European honeybee alive. And that's my job. And I'm glad to do it.
Thank you.
Well, we appreciate you. This is a volunteer position, and we really appreciate your efforts. You're very good at what you do. And
well, I'm kind of selfish. I figure if everybody else has healthy bees, I don't have to worry so much about mine.
Just so you know, I opened our commission packet in the middle of the night the other night, and I read all of your report, like all of it.
Yeah.
So just, yeah. I knew about the mites. So.
I tried beekeeping for a while, and I learned fast about mites, and I don't do it anymore. So.
Yeah,
it was fun while it lasted a couple of years, but it was too much for me, so I quit.
Any other questions?
No.
I'm glad to serve as long as I can.
Thank you.
I appreciate you. Thank you, Blaine. All right, we'll move to... Agenda item number 3, reorganization of commission assignments and review of Iron County boards. So John has given us a copy of, if you guys need to get up and move those screens in, Jeff, can you get up and move? Jeff, can you move that screen so you guys can see it better? Just grab a hold of the right side and pull it that way so you can see. Thank you. There you go. I suppose I'll go ahead and read what we each of us have assignments for. We're a 3-member commission, and we each have assignments in regards to different departments and organizations in Iron County. The first, Ken Robinson replaced Commissioner Wood, and he's so far has taken over Marilyn's duties, which are the Bureau of Land Management. Paul Briggs is no longer. He's moved on, so it's somebody else now. We can adjust that, John.
Do we know the name?
I don't know.
You, but I don't remember.
I don't remember
It's
either.
Not a big deal, but maybe if
I'll
when you find
it.
Out, just let me
it
know.
For we'll yeah, I have a meeting with him today, actually.
Commissioner, you are the liaison for John Whitaker, the clerk with the commissioners. So anything he needs to, disseminate to us or vice versa. Cross Hollow Event Center, Scott Christensen, that's right down your alley. The Fair, Jamie Evans. Forest Service, Veronica Magnuson.
And didn't we learn that Veronica has retired?
Veronica,
she's going to retire.
Gone?
Oh, she, okay.
She's gone.
She has retired.
Yeah, so on Friday when we met with
Jeff
and Cindy, yeah, and they told us the new guy.
Is it Kevin Wright?
No.
Did he get the job? Okay.
Kevin's her boss.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You're right.
So Kevin's from Tropic. He's from over the
remember.
Anyway, yeah, Veronica retired.
Okay. And Dill, if you find out.
Okay. So on that, if you can let us know on that. Highway 143, National Scenic Byway. Nancy Dalton, Jeff Brady Baugh. National Park Service, Mike Worthen. We just approved his contract last meeting, I believe. Parowan Airport, Dan Jessen, which is the city manager for Parowan. Lucas replaced him. He used to be our county auditor. Parowan Gap Heritage Committee, Nancy Dalton. Prairie Dogs, Jessica Kinross. Is she still in there? Is that the contact there?
I don't know. We haven't had any Prairie Dogs.
I think Jessica's still there, I believe.
She's still there.
Public Works Director Bruce Anderson, which takes care of the landfill and the road department. Recorder, liaison Carrie Jeffries. She reported today. Wonderful job she does. SUPAC, Wes Curtis. Wes is no longer here, so we probably need... What is that? Southern Utah, what is that acronym stand for, John? Do you know? I don't remember.
I don't know.
So Wes is gone, I believe. And then you've got USU Extension Service, Megan Johnson, which I think is current, right?
There's a...
Is that...
That's different now.
Is it different than... Oh, it's... Josh... Martin?
Martin. M?
It's a Performing Arts Center. I've already got it.
Josh Martin.
Yeah,
that's right.
Okay. That's wrong.
And then we've got Weeds, Amber Hatch. She's doing a great job. And then the committees that you... all of us are on the UAC committee, so we can... We all vote. You can log in, either go in person while the legislative commission is in session, or legislative bodies in commission or in session, or you can get on Zoom and vote as a UAC committee member. Brandy Grace is the director of that UAC, whatever we call it.
Whatever we call it.
And then my assignments are the auditor liaison for Lucas Little. Assessor, Carson Reed. Buildings, Thane Hainsworth. Any new construction or building issues I deal with. The Central Iron County Water Conservancy District, which Paul Monroe is the CEO of that. Engineer Richard Wilson. Five County AOG, which consists of our five county board of health and our five county behavioral health boards and our steering committee. So those are the three things that I'm involved in. Brian Theory is still our director there. Fleet, Wade Adams. Floods and Water, Richard Wilson, Brian Theory. Health, we once had floods divided between valleys. We had one over Parowan, one over Cedar, one over out in Milford area, but we just decided to combine those all into one, and I was happy to take that.
So does Brian Theriot needs to be on that then?
I don't know why he is, really. I don't
that
think
confuses
so.
Me.
Brian, what?
That confuses me.
I don't know why he's on there. I don't know. I don't deal with Brian in regards to floods and water, so we could, I suppose
right.
We could take
him
off.
Take him off?
Okay. Probably. I mean, he's the director of Five County, and I don't know if, I honestly don't know.
Recall them ever being involved in our flooding issue.
Yeah, you could take him off, I suppose.
Okay. I don't want to, that was surprising to me.
Right. Health and Human Service, Carrie Dennis. Human Resource, Jennifer Bradbury. Janitorial Service. And typically the liaison for Human Resource kind of falls under the chair, doesn't it?
Yeah, it rotates.
So is that why you had it under me this time? And if it would have been Mike, which was the last one, right? So
we all interact with HR. Just
let's go with the fact. Let's go with I did it on purpose.
Okay. Oh, John. You know, you're saying you'd rather be lucky than good, or what?
Once I'm right. Okay. No, yeah, that goes with the commission chair.
All right. Mental health, Mike Deal, and that falls under the five county AOG stuff. Southwest Public Health, Dr. Blodgett, that same thing. Regional Wastewater, Eric Bonzo, I'm on that board. Television, Dennis Johnson. Treasurer Liaison, Nicole Rosenberg. I'm on the UAC committee like the other two commissioners. I'm on the UAC board, and I either attend that in person or by Zoom. I don't know that I've ever missed one. I'm fine continuing unless one of you two want it. NACO Public Lands. I'm not on that board anymore.
Okay.
I think Leland Pollock fired me.
Do you have any others there that I?
What?
Let's go take Leland out back. Do you have any other UAC committees that you're on?
Mm-mm. I don't think so.
Okay.
Let's see. Commissioner Blake, attorney liaison over Chad Dotson. And like I said before, the commission as liaisons, we don't have any authority over any other elected officials except for setting their budgets. That's all we have. So when people say, hey, this certain person's doing this or that, I say, look, they're elected. They're accountable to their constituents. We have no say other than their budget. So
I got one guy really mad at me because he's like, I'm going over the sheriff's head to you. And I'm like, ooh.
All right, buddy.
Like, there is no one over the sheriff's head. If he says that's what it's going to cost, he's like, well, you can change it. Nope.
You can change it in the ballot box. That's the only way.
I got really mad at me. Anyway, it's fine.
Mike's over Cedar City Airport.
So airport, there's a change. It's not Nick Hold anymore. It's Tyler Galetka.
Oh, yeah.
Nick moved on to he's the director of aviation airports for the state.
Tyler Galetka.
Tyler Galetka is the airport.
Cedar City Chamber of Commerce, Chris McCormick, he's doing a great
job.
Still
there.
CJC, Wendy Jessen does a great job. Council on Aging, Stephanie Rainey, that's new. She's doing good there, I think, right, Mike?
Oh, yeah, she's a rock star.
And Economic Development, David Johnson, that's current, I believe.
Yep.
Emergency Management, George Colson. Fire departments. I was going to make a joke about George, but I better not.
I thought about it too.
I love George. We all do. Fire Department, Spencer Rollo. Is that correct?
Yeah, he's the new Ryan.
That's right. Frontier Homestead State Park, Gianni Julander.
Yep.
IT, Jared Wilson. Jail, Ken Carpenter and Shalon Shaver.
Yep.
Job Service, David Busk. Is he? That's right, isn't it?
Yeah, but I don't.
Or, I thought he retired.
No, David went. I don't.
Or did he go to the state? Or do some, I think that might have changed.
He's with Vision Iron County, but I don't know.
We need to check on that.
I mean, I've never done anything.
He came to our last.
But I've never done anything with Job Service. I mean, I don't know why that's. There's no board. There's no committee.
He used to come to our 5-county steering committee, but I haven't seen him for a while. I think he's got something else going, so we need to check on that.
Yeah, I'm not even sure.
Let me know how you want me to show that.
Why? Okay. Just, I don't know, leave it. Okay. I think we've had this discussion in years past. I'm like, I don't.
Yeah, and he comes. I know he comes to our intergenerational poverty meetings.
Mm-hmm. That's fine.
Okay. Outdoor Recreation, Maria Twitchell.
Yep.
Planner, Reed Erickson. Planning and Zoning, Terry Palmer. Sheriff Liaison, Ken Carpenter. Shooting Range, Gene Roundy. Is that current?
I'm going to say no.
No?
I don't know who that is. So Shooting Range is kind of lumped in with Maria, with tourism. And
should we just put Maria on that?
I'd just put Maria on Shooting Range.
Okay. Tourism, Maria again, Twitchell, Utah Summer Games, Jonathan Oglesby.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then Mike's on the UAC committee as well, like the other two of us. He's on the Indigent.
We need to strike the Indigent Defense Board because it was abolished by legislation last year and moved under the Indigent Defense Commission.
Okay.
So that board is – I'm no longer on that board. That board was
abolished. And then NACO, Justice and Public Safety.
Yes.
You're on that.
Still on that.
One board, John, that I am on is the CDBG State Board. I don't know if you want to write that down.
What about
five? What? Go ahead.
Oh, the, yeah.
Well, five county voted to have me continue there, but then we got a letter back from the state that said they need two. They always need at least two people to consider. So I may get fired from that board. I may continue. I don't know. But I'll.
Right now, you're on the.
But I'm right now on the
Public Health.
Southwest Public Health, Southwest Behavioral Health, and Steering Committee. But then I'm also on the state CDBG board.
Southwest Behavioral Health.
Does that
sound for? And those are probably the two Southwest Public Health jobs would go together. You either have
yeah,
or you don't.
Yeah, you're well. You could split them up, but usually it makes sense to stay on, to be involved in okay. all of them.
So I've got you for UAC board, CDBG state board, Southwest Utah Public Health, Southwest Utah Behavioral Health.
Right.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
and Mike, that, you got your boards right?
Mike's on the NACO Justice and Public Safety Board.
Yeah. I'm on a bunch of different boards, but they all fall under like Chamber of Commerce, like tourism,
airport.
They all fall under that. So,
and that's true. Like with me with Wastewater Treatment Board, I'm on that board, but it falls under the assignment. So okay. It's not listed underneath. Okay.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, and maybe we don't want to put that many boards.
Yeah, so I wouldn't.
No, yeah.
So.
And indigent defense went away, I thought I heard you say?
Yes. Okay. It was abolished and moved under. And there was the Indigent Defense Commission and the Indigent Defense Board that were two separate entities. Indigent Defense Board was in place for years and years. Basically, what we did was fund death penalty cases.
Yes.
For indigent defense death penalty cases. Uh-huh. But when the Indigent Defense Commission was established a few years ago, last year they merged those. And so it's all, it's no longer.
Okay, okay.
So it goes, it is no longer.
Sam, let me know that Jacqueline Russell is the new Paul Briggs over at BLM.
Correct.
Okay.
And they're working on the new Veronica.
Correct. They start today. We just don't know the name.
So. Mm. Oh, they've actually got somebody lined up.
The new Veronica.
Okay, and when we get that, we'll update this.
Jacqueline.
Russell. Yeah. Was that two L's or one, Sam? I wrote one L, but I think it's two.
One, Sam, you're smart stuff.
Two L's.
And so on these, I try to do one per year so that we have a historical reference as far as what it was. And so we'll get these updated. We'll rename it 2025. And I'm always happy to have these available for you and for the public. And then if you have changes throughout the year, let me know. And like I say, I try to have that snapshot at the end of each year so that we can, it's a pretty good reference sometimes going backwards if we're like, what happened here, you know?
Yep. So that's where we're at currently. There's nothing saying we can't change assignments or rotate or do something. Historically, we've kind of just, I mean, we're in our niche, and we have stayed there. I mean, this is my seventh year, and I've had these assignments. Mike's been here for how long?
Eight.
And he's had, I think you've had, I don't know if you've changed.
We've switched around a little bit, but not much.
I mean, I'm happy with what I do. If any of you guys really want something, we can talk about it. But I'm comfortable where I'm at. I don't know,
happy
Ken, if you're good with those assignments.
Happy with the way they're assigned now.
Are you? Okay. What about you?
Yeah, no, fine. Okay. Yep.
I only have one more question, and that is, do we want to we kind of have some of these sub-departments under the main department shown. So, like, under Mike, we have sheriff liaison and then jail. But, I mean, Shalon works for Ken.
They're the same. I don't know why they're separate.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Do you want me to just kind of make the jail line go away? Or, I mean, do we want to keep that?
I don't care.
We'll foresee having one commissioner for jail and one commissioner for sheriff?
It's not going to change the way I do anything. Or
I agree with the head shaking back there.
Well, to me, it's one office.
That was my point.
I would just say sheriff's office.
Okay, we're going to make that one go.
Yeah.
So similar question, but not an elected official then. You've got planning and zoning for Terry and planner Reed Erickson.
I think it's the same thing.
Okay, we're going to make that one go away, too.
And Terry's over Reed.
Yeah, Terry's.
Yeah, it's just that Terry, unlike Sheriff, he's not elected. So Terry's
I don't know why. I don't know why.
Couldn't he put Terry Palmer / Reed Erickson and get rid of Planner, the planner.
Yeah, because it's, I mean, they're, it's all same thing.
They
same,
both.
Same office.
Both work in that.
Okay, that's what we'll do. I'll get rid of that line and I'll add read to that, and then I'll remove the gel line entirely because, yeah, it's, they work for GAN.
I like the structure that we do. I mean, it, some counties have three commissioners, some counties have five, and some of the bigger counties have five commissioners, and then they have an administrative person that kind of helps. I like this structure we have in Iron County. It gives us the opportunity to be more involved, I think, in the different departments and get a better feel and know what's going on. That's my opinion. Anyway, so I guess, John, as far as that goes, unless somebody wants to speak up, we're good to go.
Okay, and I've got a few changes, but no material changes there for you guys, so okay. We'll do that. I've got up on the screen now boards, and I didn't have, for whatever reason, the printer didn't print the way I wanted it to, so you've got the screen for boards. I've got one half. Will you run, make three copies of that? Because I've got page 1 and 3.
You can push, Ken.
What button am I pushing?
Push this button right here, and it'll, and what's on that screen will come up on this screen.
There you go.
Sometimes.
And Carol, I've got that as a PDF if you'd like.
It'll work.
Yeah.
There we go.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, we're good now.
Just push it again to go back to your other screen. So do you want to go through these boards too?
I think it's a good exercise once
you've got that up there so they can see it.
Yeah, that's out there, and then yeah, this is your
so
changes there, Jan.
Accident and safety.
Okay, so we have a accident review board meetings, but that's a longer list than I thought. Yeah, it's good.
So the accident and safety review board, that's, and correct me if I'm wrong, John, but that is if somebody's driving, if a county employee's driving a vehicle, whether it's any of us, and you get in an accident, I believe this review board convenes and reviews what happened.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah, and it's generous of you to say if there's – we have accidents.
And, it's a fairly active board.
And so we meet, two or three times a year and go over the accidents that have happened. Sorry, Jen.
No worries. I think we need to add weight on there as fleet. Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks.
And then I'll make sure to ask everybody else on there to come next time.
So I think that's a good suggestion.
Yeah. He's come to the last couple, so
add Wade Adams to that. Okay. Any other changes that you can see, Jennifer? Okay. So any other comments on that board? If not, the Ag Protection Area Board, Enterprise and Iron, E&I Conservation District Board, Nancy Clark. So she serves on that board. Any others? I know they changed their assistant recently, and I can't remember who that is.
It should be on here somewhere. Let's look one more time.
This should say. Other than Nancy, there's Brandon Hunter, Mark Halderman, Cody Staley, and Glenn Halterman.
Okay.
Is Glenn still alive?
That's what I was wondering, too.
Is Glenn still alive?
Sorry, where are you?
If he is, he's really up there. Yes? Glenn is still alive?
Okay. I don't know that he is. So, yeah, this isn't something – I'm going to have to visit with the E&I because, I don't know if Glenn is.
Okay.
I see a Glenn
Halterman obituary. Oh, do you? Okay.
And this is one – we kind of keep track of it, and obviously not super closely, but this isn't one that you all make.
So you'll want to maybe take Glenn off that list.
Yeah, I'm just going to say update, and I'll make sure because –
I would think if we take Glenn off, we maybe add somebody like a Scott Stubbs. I know Scott serves on a lot of things, and he might be too busy because he's...
So Scott is actually...
He's the president of the Farm Bureau.
Yeah, and so he's who I will contact to let me know who is on the E&I board.
Right.
Because we don't make those appointments. That's they do.
Made by elected.
Oh, I see. I got you.
Yeah, this is for our reference, but gotcha. not our responsibility.
So we have no, okay.
Not gotcha. Your responsibility.
Perfect. Okay. Thank you. Bookmobile Library Board, Pat Tompkins. She's the one that drives the Bookmobile truck around. Megan Bailey, Ashley Christensen, Paula Hine, Kate Don Marr, Laura Rigby, Steve Decker. Steve Decker is retiring soon. Probably the next few months, I believe. So he'll probably be gone. Corey Adams and then myself. I'm the liaison to that board. And then any comment on that?
Do those look, I other than keeping track of it, I don't have a...
Do we appoint that board?
I'm
not sure.
I don't think we do. I mean, I don't remember ever taking any action or making any appointments to that board.
A visit with Pat.
I'm not sure.
Boundary Commission, Carson Reed, Paul Cousins. I don't honestly...
We're required to have one.
And that is a legislatively required board when there is a boundary dispute.
Mm-hmm.
I think the last time it came up was with Cindy Bullock.
Okay.
So it's always the assessor and a commissioner. And where you are his liaison, that's been the logic so far.
Got it.
But that's not to say that. That's just what we put because that was what we thought was sensible. So
that works for me. That's okay. Fine. Whatever.
I put Carrie on there too.
It's not a bad idea. It's actually legislatively mandated. So, yeah.
To have Carrie on there?
No, to have the assessor and a commissioner. I can go look at the log.
Oh, the assessor and commissioner.
Yeah.
But
you know, I'm sure the recorder could do it. She's bucking for it. Go look up the law, and we'll follow it. We'll follow the law.
I'm not sure you need to worry because I don't ever remember meetings. So,
it's not a regular meeting kind of a thing. It's when there's a boundary dispute, and it's not like, you know, a neighbor's fence. We're talking about like between cities or counties, or you know, it's when it's more serious. So
we got Lois on Council on Aging, Lois Bullock. Earl Paddock, Mary Lee Prince, Mark Jennings, Kathy Jennings, Robert Rasmussen, Arlen Grimshaw, Steve Davis, Stephanie Rainey.
So why? Because I was on that board because that's my department.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why I'm on that. Well,
do we need to switch that?
Yeah, let's switch that to Mike.
And yeah, and I attended those meetings, but I haven't. There's been no invite or anything for a few years. I'll follow up with Stephanie.
I was going to say, would you just let me know? Because on that one, some of those are out of date. Yeah.
And I'll follow up on the Bookmobile board because
is that you?
There might have been a couple changes on that.
Okay, yeah. And it's good because, you know, we want to, like I say, I like to have that historical perspective and I also have them currently accurate.
Right. Health Insurance Committee, Jennifer Bradbury, our HR director, Exilda Serrano. She works in the assessor's office. Shane Clank, who's in the county attorney's office. Carrie Christensen, who's in the auditor's office. Stephanie Rainey, Council on Aging. Lisa Witt, Julie Sanders, Josh Meredith, Jeremy Truman, and Marcy Smith. Does that sound like that's Marcia.
And accurate? Then there's three more. Does it, on the next
page. Oh, and then Ben Harris, Michelle Croft, and Melanie Hall.
Well, and we've kind of extended it to where we wanted a representative from every single department here going forward, so we may just add to that,
me?
And I'll email you.
Yeah, that would be great.
Who was here last time.
We'll update that. Thank you.
And then IC, Special Service District Number 3, Administrative Control Board, Kim Evans, Jared Christensen, Brandon Hunter, and John Whitaker.
So, again, this SSD Number 3 receives state PILT and SRS money, Secure Rural Schools money, and that money goes toward road materials. It's not a ton of money, but it has to be governed by a separate board. That was the reason for the creation of the board. And I believe
there is a line there for a commission liaison.
Yeah, and you know what? I don't think that's on here, and I kind of want to add it. And Alma and then Marilyn had done it. I don't know if you're comfortable with being that liaison. Okay.
All right. I see Econ Opportunity Advisory Board, Industrial Protection Area Advisory Board.
So this one is... this one is going to change. I don't know to who yet.
Would this be Rob Dotson that would kind of manage the...
No, this would be David Johnson.
Okay.
This is the economic Development Advisory Board. I haven't seen a list of who's new and who's out. I'm waiting on that.
So this one will change.
Yeah, so let's... Yeah, this one's going to change. This one's going to change probably considerably.
Okay.
Are you going to follow up on that then, or do you need me to?
No, I'm waiting. In fact, it's in process now. They know that when we make those changes, they'll let me know, and we'll make those changes. So they're in the process of asking folks if they would be willing to serve right now. That's ongoing. So we can just skip that one and come back to it because it'll look different.
Okay. LAPC Emergency Preparedness Committee, George Colson, Rob Dotson, Rick Brown, and Mike Blake. Is that accurate?
Rick Brown is gone.
Okay.
I don't know if that's something that we... I don't know that that's something that we appoint. Rick Brown was the university police chief. Now it's Carlos Medina. But that's not something that we necessarily appoint.
Oh, he was the SUU, wasn't he?
Yeah, Rick was the chief at SU. Now it's Carlos. That's not something that we appoint.
Is that George's responsibility?
Yeah. Yeah, that's George's responsibility.
Need to follow up with George. Will you follow up with George?
I'll follow up with George.
Okay.
Natural Resource Advisory Council, Rick Bonzo, Donnie Hunter, Jeff Hunter.
Oh, my. So,
Jared Christensen, Deneen, is that how you pronounce that?
Mm-hmm.
Deneen McCarthy, Tom Stratton, Mike Worthen, and Mike Blake.
Never met. Eight years I've never been.
Well, you know, Rick was appointed in October of 2008.
Yeah, I was going to say these are like 2008 appointments.
That was my, So Mike Worthen is our natural resource specialist. I believe that's what you're emailing me, Sam.
Yes.
But then the question then is this, I mean, should I get rid of this?
I don't even know that it's a thing. Yeah. Maybe we ought to ask Mike Worthen, but it's never been a thing.
He did email me saying that he had been working with Marilyn.
On this board?
I don't know if that was in reference to this board specifically.
No. Well,
Marilyn was his liaison.
I don't.
And as the chair, whoever is serving as chair will usually sign a lot of letters and documents for Mike as he drafts them. But,
does that necessitate a council? Let me follow up with Mike. As a reminder, at the end of each meeting, there is the non-delegated, which includes, you can do closed sessions if you need, you can also do boards. And so I'll do some research on this, and then we can talk about whether this board needs to exist. And if so, do we need to, you know, get names a little bit closer than 14 years.
Okay.
This is why this is a good exercise, because I'm...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Planning Commission, Roger Thomas, he's still there. Mark Halterman's there. Lane Sutherland, I believe, is there. Mike Platt, I think, is still there. Jared Christensen's there. Michelle Tullis is now the chair, and you've got that. Eric Cox, I believe, is there. Merrill Lee Wilson, Terry Palmer, Reed, Richard Wilson, and Mike Blake. So those, I believe that's current.
That's current.
And didn't... I think the commissioners voted to, in your last meeting, to renew.
That was Water Conservancy.
Yeah, so Restaurant Tax Board, Daniel Aiken, is he still in there?
Yes, we need to strike Gary Dahlman, though.
Okay.
And add Don Jersey. And it's Don with two N's.
Gary Dahlman and add who?
Don Jersey.
Okay.
D-O-N-N, Jersey.
And Julie Padilla?
Yep.
Marie Twitchell and Mike Blake?
Yes.
Okay. Southwest Behavioral Health Board, Gil Almquist, Andy Gant. Andy Gant is no longer. That's changed to Celeste Myers, who replaced him. So if you can change that. Wade Hollingshead's there. He's from Beaver County. Kent Peterson's on that board. Jerry Taylor's from Garfield. Michael Deal is the director. Dr. Blodgett is a health. So Deal is the public mental health and or behavioral health, and Dr. Blodgett's the health.
We want to change their titles there?
I don't know why we've got executive director and director. I'd say executive director on both of them, I would probably say. And then I'm the liaison on that board. Summit Special Service District Admin Control Board, Danny Hewlett, Val Williams, Adrian Anderson, D.O. Jones, and Wade Gill. Does that...
Adrian's passed away.
Adrian's passed. Okay.
And that board, I don't know that they meet, but they have their little water system that they keep. They're not municipal, but it's a municipal service that they kind of group together.
A board is facing possibly being dissolved if they don't become compliant with the state auditor.
Right.
What happens if they dissolve? Who takes over?
They're done.
What do you mean they're done?
I can't get them to respond to. I've sent them accountants you can pay by the hour to help them.
Yeah. I think it was Danny Hewlett I met with maybe a couple years ago, and they asked for help on a canal, some excavation work up the canyon, and I think we volunteered to help them to some degree, but I'm not sure that's ever happened.
I know that Dan Jessen had worked with them trying to get them to. The problem is some of their accounting practices weren't up to date, and then Adrian passed away, I believe, from COVID, and he was doing the accounting.
Yeah, he was a CPA.
Yeah, and so... Yeah, Danny. Yeah, no, it's still Danny. I think, though, and this is a PDF, otherwise I'd just change it right there. But
I actually got Seth Ovison in touch with them, and he went and really helped them get almost caught up.
Really?
And then they have just fallen.
Okay. Back into I'll visit with Danny and with Seth, see if I can help. Yeah, that's scary.
Tourism Advisory Board, Diane Bixman.
So this one looks wrong.
Does it?
And we actually have a meeting Wednesday. So let me get that straightened out.
Yeah, let me know. And because are you going to meet with the board or with
Maria? Yeah, no, we have a board meeting on Wednesday.
Okay, so yeah, just would you, if you would, let me know who those members are.
Because I know that that's not right.
And I'll email this around to y'all so that we can. We also need to get the appointment dates correct and updated.
Yeah.
So
I'll know this after Wednesday.
This is where you had some changes.
Terry Hartley's there. Andrew McCray's there. Tyler Allred's there. Tyler Milling's there. Dave Harris is there. Paul Nelson. Man, I'm not sure on Paul Nelson on that one. I better check on that. Spencer Jones is there. Paul Monroe's there. I'm the liaison. I need to check on. I think Paul is on that board still. I think he is. I believe that is correct. But I'll double check that. But I think
if you would maybe let me.
Weed control: Paul Nelson, Sean Reber, Kim Evans, Glenn Halterman. So we can cross him off.
Mark Halderman's there.
Mark is there now.
Instead of Glenn?
I don't know if it's instead of, but the meetings that I've been to, Mark has been there. He has been there, Casey.
Will you follow up with Amber and just make sure
who the board
what
is.
We've got is correct with what she has?
Yep.
We probably ought to put maybe put Ken on that board.
We've got the liaison, but blank. So yeah, if you would let me know, we'll get that updated as well.
I have a meeting with her and Lucas tomorrow morning, so I can get that information tomorrow.
Yep. Thank you. That's a huge help for us. I mean, obviously some of those need to be updated still. So.
Okay. We've done number three. We're on personnel. Jennifer, number four.
Hello. All right. In the road department, Gavin Black has completed all requirements to receive a promotion from a road maintenance worker 1 to a road maintenance worker 2, effective February 2nd, 2025. Sheriff's Office Corrections, Robert Stammett, was selected from an internal posting and interview process to receive a promotion from a corporal to a sergeant, effective January 19th, 2025. Zachary Coons was selected from an internal roster to receive a promotion from a Deputy 3 to a Corporal, effective January 19, 2025. And Jennifer Barnett was selected from the most recent competitive interview and selection process to backfill the vacant full-time corrections nurse position, effective January 21, 2025. Sheriff's Office Patrol, Sean Peterson, was selected from an internal posting and interview process to receive a promotion from a sergeant to a lieutenant, effective January 19, 2025. And with this promotion, Sean will move from a non-exempt to an exempt status. Brandon Kennedy was selected from an internal posting and interview process to receive a promotion from a corporal to a sergeant, effective February 2nd, 2025.
Okay, so that was on your, so it was Sean Kennedy?
Brandon.
Brandon Kennedy.
Okay, because we have TBD.
Yes. And that was, I think, announced this morning. Okay. Tyrell Crofts and Cree Carter have completed all requirements to receive a promotion from a Deputy 2 to a Deputy 3 status. Tyrell will be effective January 19, 2025, and Cree will be effective February 16, 2025.
Okay. Any questions or discussion on that? Not, I'll entertain a motion on personnel.
I don't remember whose turn it is.
Make a motion to accept the changes in personnel.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
John, I just texted you tourism.
Oh, great.
Maria texted me.
She's watching.
Maria. Hi, Maria. Yeah, Maria texted me. I forwarded it to you.
Maria must be spying on us this morning.
You guys have anything on boards?
Jeannie, can you reach him?
Yeah, somebody needs to.
Throw something at him, maybe.
Yeah. Sam, any closed session stuff today? Or we,
no, sir.
We good? Okay.
Like Maria says she's spying on us.
All right. It's a tough one. Well, we appreciate everybody coming today and participating. And thanks again, Blaine, for your work as volunteer and for the comments today. We really and I hope you keep coming. Thank you. We appreciate you. So chair declares this meeting adjourned.